Remember, if you bought a house anywhere but Santa Barbara, you didn't pay enough. Floyd Wicks, my guest today, was formerly vice chairman of American States Water Company and then was president and chief executive officer, which he held from 1992 to 2008. He's a registered professional engineer, California, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. His professional career in water spans 50 years. Past member of the advisory committee of President Clinton's Commission on Critical Infrastructure Protection. He was co-chair of the SoCal Leadership Council for 2008, headed up its Water Task Force Committee. He was a board member of the California Chamber of Commerce, as well as being a member of the board of directors for Water for People. I believe in Water for People, a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping impoverished people worldwide improve their quality of life by supporting sustainable drinking water, sanitation, hygiene projects. He was instrumental gathering support for the Paul Simon Water for the Poor Act of 2005. I think they were inspired by a bridge over troubled water. I don't know why they named it Paul Simon, and subsequent $300 million funding and just helping third world companies develop sustainable drinking water and sanitation facilities. 2016, he was elected to the board of directors right here in Montecito, the water district. He's still on that. He's on another company in the UK on the board. He's serving advisory now on the topic we're going to talk about, Seawell, California company providing water distributed by ocean desalination buoys. Wicks and his wife have made their home in Montecito since 1992. Welcome back to Radio Real Estate, Floyd Wicks.
Well, thank you, Mark. It's a pleasure to be back again, and always look forward to working with you on this topic of water.
Well, just when are you going to stop, though, with your obsession with water? You know, 50 years, you can't even retire. You got to be on the Montecito Water District, and now this thing with the desal buoys?
Well, when you really think about retirement plans, they haven't been around that long, maybe 100 years plus. But before that, people just worked and worked and worked. So as long as you like what you do, there's nothing wrong with the continuing of events, and the saga continues on my end. So it's really been fun and enjoyable and exciting along the way. So all good.
Well, you know, Montecito is lucky to have you with your kind of experience and being on there, and it's fabulous. Of course, I was just kidding, and I'm glad that you just want to stay active and hang in there. And, you know, I moved to Santa Barbara in 1977 to finish college at UCSB, transferred, and we were going through a horrible water shortage, and then just recently, like front page news, as if they just discovered that they need to start reclaiming stormwater, which has been essentially going down the toilet all these years, so to speak. And, you know, it's like, is it that difficult? I know that was not the topic for us to talk about. We're going to get into these desal buoys that you're working on and other topics, but it just occurred to me, are you at all involved in that? Do you think it's, have you read about it? Is it doable? Do you wish they would get started on that already?
Well, it's doable in certain areas. Here along the central coast, the water comes in, of course, through rainfall, and it leaves about as quickly as it drops. And, you know, the recent rains we had, probably near 95% of what fell on the ground is already back in the ocean. And when you consider the ocean and Seawell, for example, the ocean is nothing more than stormwater capture. And, of course, rainfall falls in the ocean as well, and wastewater discharges go to the ocean. So the combination of those three sources of supply makes up what is represented by the Pacific Ocean and all the oceans of the world. It's nothing more than an already existing stormwater capture event, if you will. And one that's the only drought-proof source around. Every other source for example, that Montecito Water owns and manages is totally dependent upon rainfall. This one is not. That's why we wanted, when I first got on the board, one of the first orders of business was to secure at least a good percentage of our total demand in Montecito and Summerlin with a source that's not dependent upon rain. So that's why we went to a desal agreement with the city, long-term, 50-year contract.
I remember that we covered that on prior interviews, and the desal plant was built, and then it was mothballed, and then it took as much money to get it going again, and so it's been running. And what percentage of water does Santa Barbara or Montecito get from that desal plant?
Well, in the case of Montecito, it's a bigger percentage of the total demand. We signed up for about close to 1,400 acre feet of supply, and Montecito's and Summerlin demands about 4,000 acre feet per year. Each acre foot is basically, if you can visualize a football field with 1 foot of water on top of it, that's what is 1 acre foot of water.
And then it could maybe supply water for three homes? Single-family homes per year?
Yeah, pretty close. Yeah, exactly. You've got a good handle on that.
Well, I was interviewing somebody. They were talking about rental units, and you know, by the time you shrink down the size of a home, and you know, you don't have a backyard, and it was much. You're supplying much more. You're getting much more people per year out of an acre foot. So that's pretty good. If Montecito and Summerlin, did you say?
Exactly, yes.
4,000 square feet, and you're getting 1,400. That's, I mean, not four square feet, 4,000
acre feet,
and you're getting 1,400. That's over 25%. Pretty good.
Yeah, we're pretty close to 35% of the total demand is now a drought-proof source of water. So even if all the other sources fail, we have enough water for safety and sanitation for the entire service area.
That's impressive. Now, I imagine your demand of 4,000 acre feet per year is much smaller than Santa Barbara's?
Santa Barbara's about 10,000 acre feet per year, and their take of the plant, the desal plant, is about a total of 3,000 acre feet, 3,125 to be exact. The contract with Montecito represents about 46% of the total capacity of that plant. So Santa Barbara's take is about 1,600 acre feet out of their total 10,000 acre feet demand. So roughly 16% of their total city demand is from desal.
So getting back to, is the desal plant supplying Montecito 1,400 acre feet and supplying Santa Barbara over 3,000, were you talking about percentage? Is that the maximum that it can produce?
Yeah, the maximum today that it can produce is about 3,125 acre feet, of which Montecito has 1,430. So that ratio, we have it's about 45 or 46%. I'd have to do the calculation.
Oh, okay. Now I understand. So the 3,125 is the total, and you get the 1,400, and they get around 16. Now I understand the numbers. My guest is Floyd Wicks, who just knows everything about anything. I hadn't planned on asking any of these questions, and of course, you didn't need to prepare at all. You got all this stuff in your head. It's pretty impressive. Floyd Wicks. He's currently locally on the Montecito Water Board, but has spent his career 50 years working with water. So you were on last time, and you told me about this new company that you're working with over at Vandenberg Space Force Water Supply Project. What's going on with their buoy desal plants?
Well, there's nothing in the water, but what we've done in the interim is put a skid-mounted pilot down at Port Hueneme down in Ventura County. And I didn't realize it till I started working with Seawell. The Navy has a desalination research lab right at the base at Port Hueneme. So we've contracted with the base. They actually welcome private enterprise to come in and work with them on their research on desalination. When you consider all the Navy vessels that are out there, the U.S. Navy, they're floating desal plants, basically like what Seawell represents. And the reason we went there is they have a tremendous amount of research from decades, literally decades of working with the naval vessels on offshore treatment plants, trying to minimize the cost factor for energy as well as the maintenance factor, O&M, of the desal plant itself. So we've learned a tremendous amount. Our pilot is up and running now. We're not really welcoming a lot of people to come and visit because it's not our property, but we are on the site of the Navy's desalination laboratory site, right on the base, and the unit is up and running, which I'm really happy to say. So that's step one. What our next step would be to hopefully get some federal or state grants involved to put that what's on site at Port Hueneme inside a scale model version of the buoy and put it out in the water and let it work. Nothing in the water business, or frankly anything in California for that matter, can get done quickly. There's a lot of steps you have to take along the way, and what we're doing on the research side of it now at Port Hueneme is a very critical step.
My guest is Floyd Wicks. He's the waterman out of Montecito now, but 50 years in the business. You know, you said the Navy ships are floating desal plants. I never really thought about how these Navy ships are out there in sea so long, how they got their fresh water. Mm-hmm. How do they?
Well, they have intakes, of course, right from the ship itself, and then that brings the ocean water inside the ship, and they treat it just with the reverse osmosis treatment technology, which is tried and true technology, which Seawell plans to use as well inside the buoy. These buoys are fairly sizable. They're about 25 feet across in diameter at the top, and from top to bottom about 45 feet. So it's a sizable room, if you will, going in from the top hatches. But what we're doing at Port Hueneme is attempting to lengthen the amount of time between when we have to send people out to the buoy for maintenance, which is obviously a very critical part of this, because the less maintenance, the less cost the end user has to pay for the actual supply.
So describe the concept of this technology and why it's such a big improvement versus the Santa Barbara desal plant traditionally sitting on shore.
Okay, on the onshore treatment plants, obviously they work fine. And it's a lot of it depends on, going forward at least, on resolving issues that the environmental community in California has had with onshore desal plants. The folks at Seawell have done a lot of really good thinking on this. One big issue being brine. When you have an onshore plant, you have to bring 100% of your supply through a separate pipeline that's at the bottom of the ocean, typically. It has maybe some riser pipes, but then there's an intake that the velocity is a key factor for marine life. You don't want, you know, to bring in a lot of marine life into that pipeline. But then you're bringing ocean water to the plant that's on the shoreline somewhere, or inland to some extent. Then you go through the reverse osmosis process, which creates brine. the brine has to go out back out to the ocean in a separate pipeline. In the case of Santa Barbara, what they've done is they combined the discharge from their wastewater treatment plant with the discharge from the desalination plant. So it goes out into that common pipeline. But nonetheless, it still exits at the bottom of the ocean, and that's one critical factor that the environmental community doesn't like the idea of brine being at the bottom of the ocean where it's heavier, so the dispersion factor is not nearly what it is with seawell. Seawell's exit for brine stays out in the ocean. The treatment process is right there. The brine is generated there, and it's discharged at the very top, not at the bottom, but at the top of the roughly 90-foot water column, anywhere from 75 to 90 to 100 feet of water depth is what we're looking for.
And why is that brine discharge on the surface more favorable?
Well, it's more favorable because it is heavier. The salt content of the ocean, you may remember this from some of our prior discussions, but the salt content in the water, which is dissolved, it's dissolved solids, is about 3.5% salt, which varying constituents in that 3.5%. But the percentage of pure water is 96.5%.
Mm-hmm.
With the brine going back out to the ocean from the Santa Barbara plant, is twice that density. It has about 7% salt, 93% water, of course. Same exact constituents in our buoy exiting, or the brine exiting the buoy, is at the top. It's heavier than the ocean water around it, so it tends to settle down and mix as it settles. So by the time it's less than a third of the way down, that brine is completely dispersed within the currents and the ocean volume, literally volume that's around the buoy, endless volume. So it kind of emulates the process of what currently happens now with the water evaporating from the ocean. When it goes up into the clouds, it doesn't take salt with it. The salt remains at the surface and then settles down, just like what we're proposing with seawell. So these fellows at seawell have done a tremendous job of solving, not 100% solving, but at least attenuating to or tending to the issues brought forth by the environmental community.
And how have they responded to this? This buoy concept, have they been contacted? And
yes, we've actually for one, I'll give a shout out to Doss Williams because he's a staunch environmentalist. We met with him and the other supervisors in Santa Barbara County. They are all very supportive of this new way of doing things because it does address these intake velocity issues, for example, and the brine issue. Those are two big issues. And with the case, the velocity issue, the velocity of the seawell intake is about a tenth of what the state requires at a minimum or maximum velocity coming into a plant like that. So they've actually expanded the size of the intake so the water coming through it is at the lowest velocity possible. It's a tenth of what onshore plants' velocities are.
Well, let's hope the new guy that replaces Doss in this next election probably as favorable as Doss is, so that'll be nice. My guest, Floyd Wicks, he's currently on the Montecito Water Board, but involved in a company. If someone wanted to Google this, what would they just search? Is seawell one word?
Yes, seawellwater.com is the website, the seawell water all run together .com.
Seawell, and, okay, seawellwater.com, seawellwater.com. And I imagine, even though we have enormous amount of rain, it probably doesn't even register in the ocean in terms of the the 3.5% water and the 96.5%, 3.5% salt, it probably doesn't have any impact at all. Although I was thinking, if you have these buoys out there and they're grabbing water from the surface, do you think that would have any impact at all?
Well, it may, but it's designed such that the intake is completely around the circumference of the buoy, but about round numbers, about 35 feet below the surface of the water.
Okay.
So it's going to be down there pretty deep, and avoid things like floating objects or even oil, for that matter. There's a lot of reason why it's that deep, and we're hoping to get the really good quality water.
Yeah.
And this, I want to underscore as well, it's not intended that these buoys would provide the only source of water for water utilities. Typically, it's, especially in California, it's always good to have a kind of a portfolio of supplies. What this does is underscore every one of the other supplies by putting it in a different category, namely drought-proof.
Well, you mentioned
our whole objective is to help utilities drought-proof their existing supplies to an extent that at least provides safety and health-related water for their communities.
You mentioned the Santa Barbara desal plant puts out about 3,000 acre-feet. What would one buoy put out?
One buoy is about 950 acre-feet, so round numbers, a three-buoy system, which is what we're proposing for Vandenberg, is very close to the capacity of the Santa Barbara plant.
Wow.
And the key factor, though, that we look at is everybody complains about the cost of desal because it's so energy intensive. But as an example, if a utility can have a water source that's reliable, it's got then reliability, water supply certainty, and it's got price certainty because it doesn't have the up and down pricing represented by even state water. And that was a train, by the way, just going right past my place. So an example of that, this year, 2023, I should say, state water allocation was at 100%. So whatever your state water allocation was, you got 100% if you could take it. Two prior years in a row, 5% only.
Mm.
And during those years, the cost per acre foot went from about $2,000 an acre foot at full capacity to close to $30,000 an acre foot.
Wow.
So there's a tremendous variability, and you cannot, and that's what Vandenberg is looking at, you can't run a major military base like that with uncertainty of water.
Right, and you got that. Floyd, I didn't write down one question to ask you, but meantime, we might have just done the longest segment ever on Radio Real Estate. Either we'll say goodbye, or if you have some things I didn't cover, we could have maybe a five-minute segment next. Where are we at?
I'm happy to hang on. It's completely your call. I didn't mean to get off on a tangent there, but I sometimes get on a roll.
No, tangents are good, and if there's some topics and questions I didn't ask, I'll hold you over. If you think you... Do you have some more gems to share with us, or?
I can certainly give you a highlight of possibly what the longer range plan of.
Okay, let's do that. Let's stay with my guest Floyd Wicks, former chairman of American States Water Company, currently nice enough to volunteer on the board of the Montecito Water District. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.